You wanted an Iron Man 3 spoiler alert episode? Guess what, you sons of bitches? You get it.
So what are we going to call it? 159A or should it be 160?
159A.
159A, done.
They never get their own. They never get their own number.
No. Spoilers gets a letter, just like the Enterprise.
That we blow up. All right, so let's get right into it. We're very fortunate that Rick Overton was able to stay around to give his thoughts on Iron Man 3. Rick, you go first. And remember, you can this episode.
This is a spoiler episode. You can talk about anything, ending,
endings,
whatever.
There's no holding back on any of this. So, folks, if anyone listening to this, if you don't want to hear all the details of the movie, do not listen any further. All right, you've been forewarned.
Well, I thought it was a revenge story, like he says it is, and it's.
Not a lot of subtext in the revenge part.
Nah, it didn't give you enough reason for that level of revenge, considering who didn't actually die. But, you know, Buddy wound up in the hospital. He's like, fine, you know, everyone's okay. Mm-hmm. And so you injured my friend, so it's on. And turns out he has all these other suits that can respond and jump on and jump off. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like saying, oh, you know, as busy as it got with him hopping from one suit to the next at the end, as a writer, all I could think is, oh, fuck me if I had to be the writer of four.
Yeah.
What's left? You used up every fucking suit in that scene. I would have spread that shit out, man. Right. One or two suits with one or two friends, you know? And that's like, so they're all robot controlled, so it's still just about Tony and all that. And I guess it's the big blowout knowing that once you get into the clusterfuck of the big batch of guys now, that was your last big thing of just you. Mm-hmm. I think they knew that was the last hurrah, dump every last thing that's just him. Because now he'll be in the league and in S.H.I.E.L.D., you know?
Yeah, because I think they knew that. And I read an article that they were just – Shane Black, you know, who directed this, was like, that's the next director's problem. And they're going to just use Iron Man in the Avenger films and stuff like that because
– As a business angle, you kind of see like that meeting. You can be the fly on the wall and hear that meeting. What are we going to do?
I know. Oh, there's that meeting, definitely. It might be happening right now. Again, like, does anybody know what we're going to do now?
I mean, take the weekend to think about it. The demand will be for another film, but we painted ourselves into a very interesting corner.
Well, the interesting thing was that they did, like, they did two things at once with this movie, which I really liked, is they went big, but they also went personal. So now you have two kind of roads that you've already kind of covered. Like, you know, there could always have been that Iron Man movie that's really personal where he goes back into the bottle that follows, like, the comic books. But now you've kind of done that already. You've gone through his insecurities and you've gone through making him really human and how he is connected to the armor and the suits. And you've made it giant with all these robots.
And you
stuff.
Gave him the epiphany of I'm no longer just a war weapon broker.
Right.
And I'm now a moral guy that fights those kinds of people in reverse.
Right. So now you've got to dig even deeper in either direction to see what you can come up with next. Again.
And also, too, the maturity of Tony Stark saying, I just love Pepper. Like, I'm done with the womanizing Playboy shit. I just love Pepper. And to me, one of the things that I liked about this film, it had a couple little problems in it that we'll get to, but not a huge thing. It's kind of nitpicky stuff. I loved how Pepper has now evolved in this movie. In the end, she saves Tony Stark. You know,
yeah.
That was awesome. She gets infected with that crazy heat virus or whatever.
Right? Yeah.
But it gives her enough strength. Because love transcended
lava.
It taking over her body into a briquette.
Yeah,
and,
right.
She could aim it at the bad guys. It's the one thing the vampires don't want is a vampire that turns on them.
Yeah. You know? Well, it was
with
it was,
all that strength.
It was so cool in the end, you know. And I really, too, I just loved seeing that character and how Gwyneth Paltrow portrayed the transformation of just this, like, in the first one, just this assistant, like, oh, Tony. And now she's like, no, I'm your lady. I love you, but I don't have to take your bullshit, you know.
Right.
And I'm tough. I'm a tough lady. And
she toughened up.
She got real. Yes.
All the shit she's been through. How can you not toughen up?
I know.
After
yeah,
all,
yeah. You're gonna date that fucking lunatic.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. You guys, this is not like a normal date. You know, we're gonna go goofy golf or something. You know.
And that was this kind of blends into my one little nitpicky thing about it. When the girl shows up that ends up selling him out, right? Shows up at the place right before she gets attacked. The actress's name is Rebecca Hall. When Rebecca Hall shows up, and they both just kind of seem like, oh, this is one of Tony's flings. That was the one thing where really the Gwyneth Paltrow is, you know, Pepper is so smart that she didn't go, wait a minute, this bitch shows up and then my house gets blown up. And she just immediately gets in the car with her and is like, oh, we're friends and we'll get ourselves. That was the one thing I was like, no way. Like, Pepper is way too smart to just accept this woman.
Yeah, there's a few things.
That was a few things.
Yeah, there's definitely, it definitely had a few things going that, like, well, that could have used a little more of smoothing and over.
I get the whole, you know, that the image, and I kind of liked politically the statement that that guy.
Oh, the Mandarin.
The Mandarin's just a front. It's just some actor doing this. That, to me, to my politics, says a lot, you know, about how the media
I thought it was a great twist. Yeah, we didn't see it coming either.
No, that is maybe my favorite part of the whole thing, is how that's the stuff I've been saying in my act for a long time, man. that don't believe it just because some douche in a tie said it, so, you know.
Well, yeah, no, it goes to the whole thing of, like, what you're saying. It is a nice commentary on our mainstream media and our two-party politics. It's like, oh, it's professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's just what the whole thing is, and I loved how I did not see that coming at all. And I, you know, I'm familiar with the Mandarin character from the comic books, and I really like that. And Ben Kingsley just being this coked out limey that's like, hey, mate, you know,
it's a job.
It's an acting job. You know, it's just like, I loved that.
You know, and now, who did he sound like when he was being the guy? Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Anderson.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
His very metered voice.
Mm-hmm.
It was,
and the hard fought for R's.
It was so great, because then I thought it was awesome of Guy Pearce, because
in the middle of the movie, like you were saying, like, how are they going to put these two things together? Mm-hmm. How are they going to merge, you know, the Mandarin and this other villain and make it seem coherent?
And Guy Pearce to me was like, oh, he's got no political agenda. He's just a corporate guy that's like, how can I max my fucking revenue? Well, we'll create this Mandarin asshole, and I'll just...
The truth of what they were saying in there, that if enough people see that and a kid sees that and figures out this is how they pull this shit, I think that will keep their eyes open well beyond just the movie. Because I think that kind of stuff goes on wag the dog style all the time.
Are you kidding me?
Like, I kid you not.
It's like, why this? If you step back and start watching stuff, you go, wait, why? Because the reaction of the population is pretty standard to predict now. You know, the fear, and this happens, and it gets people, and you start wondering, like, maybe someone is pulling these strings a little more. And I loved how Iron Man did that.
Do you love a magic show, or do you love deconstructing a magic show?
Right.
I am a deconstruction brain. I am born that way. I took shit apart, much to my parents' frustration, right. But they approved of the fact of how I did it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the way I was trying to figure out how it works. I like seeing where the rabbit goes more than I like seeing it disappear.
And Guy Pearce's character, why I loved it so much in this movie, he knows that most people don't want, they just want to be told. They want to, oh, this is the bad guy. Okay, yes, that's the bad guy, and you're going to fix it? You're going to get the bad guy?
Same as news. Now with news is opinion. And it's not, it says, this is your opinion. And then they tell their opinion. Then at the end they go, you decide. No, I don't decide. You just told me my opinion.
Right.
You're just doing doublespeak.
And it's all fear-based. It's all fear-based, just like keeping you terrified. And that's what Guy Pearce went, oh, okay, I'll just get this Mandarin guy. So
brilliant. You know what's interesting, too?
And love that tape.
It goes both ways. Like, it looks on the surface, it looks fear-based. But then what's the end goal? Commerce.
I know.
It's fear-based to get to the goal of commerce.
Die Hard.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a terrorist.
You're just a common thing. Madam, I am an exceptional thief.
Yeah.
Yes.
And since I have just upped it to kidnapping, I think you should be a little more polite.
And he goes, we'll be on a beach earning 20%. Like,
20%.
It's all bare bonds, and it's like, that's, and for, to me, that I love, why I loved Iron Man 3 was, Iron Man 1, fun, popcorn, summer.
Origin movie.
Origin movie. Mm-hmm. Great. I was like, oh, man. Robert Downey Jr. plays a great Tony Stark. Mm-hmm.
My favorite superhero character. Infinitely more interesting than this weird, emotionally stunted Superman Clark Kent character. Huh, well, yes, I'll be a reporter. What kind of reporter is going to be this reporter?
Right.
Well, I'll really get to the core of the story.
And like you said earlier, Tony Stark's, you know, transformation of, he was one of those guys. He was just the fucking bottom line profit, sell arms guys. He changed.
Didn't care who the bombs blew up.
Then he had this change of heart, and that was great in Iron Man.
When he almost got blown up, which is like, you totally buy that transformation. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Big hole in his
hole in his heart. He has a machine in where his heart should be. Iron Man 2 was just a failed. It wasn't a good sequel.
No.
So this Iron Man 3, it was awesome in that they made it a darker world. They made it more personal. You know, yes, Robert Downey Jr. was quipping and stuff like that, but we really got to see who he was.
But it matched the character.
It
didn't seem out of like the movie. He's just always just throwing monologue jokes out.
I have an issue with how many times you can plow into the ground and blow up all of the pavement around you, just pile it all up. You've landed like a meteorite. There's still a water-based being inside all of that that has nothing to inertially stop its own organs from slapping against the rib cage and skull.
The armor has inertial dampeners in it.
Oh, it does?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
I just kind of made that up.
All right, good. Sure. There you go. Like, listen to me. I'm saying, is that true? Look how the mythology just wraps us up.
In the back of my head, I'm thinking, I know that was explained in the comic book somewhere. I think it had to do with like inertial dampers and the way the suit the way the suit would actually absorb the impact for the body. Absolutely.
Oh, good. Concussion stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I love too how Shane Black did an excellent job of messing with our expectations. I know this bothers, but there was a lot of like that time when towards the end of the movie where he's like, oh, game on, and then the suits malfunction and shit doesn't go right. Mm-hmm. I love that. And
falls apart into pieces.
Yeah, falls, but doesn't work. You know, I mean, when it's like initiate, whatever.
And it's the sign of a good movie too, the way everything kind of comes together. Like even those like stuff doesn't work, it's all believable because of the character and the world that we've set up. Even the way the movie opened with, you know, it said that we create our own demons. And just kind of that premise to start the movie off.
Which is what
really
the Mandarin
remarkable.
Is, a right. self-created, manufactured demon.
Yeah, and which is remarkable. I think, and the way it tied into everything from his personal demons to the bad guys that he actually helped create. I thought that was really cool, mm-hmm. the way he did it. Maybe if he just would have met that guy on the roof, maybe none of this would have happened. You know, that's the
Mujahideen, Al-Qaeda. They're all trained by us.
Yeah.
All the original equipment wasn't AKs. It was our equipment.
Right.
No, our it was just when we had to give them stingers. Stinger
That's right.
missiles.
Stingers to shoot the Russian cockers
the Russian
down. That was American
down.
Man.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's – I love that idea of like you know, these – a lot of times in superhero mythology, you know, villains just appear and they challenge the hero and that's kind of what it is. But when – it's always far more interesting when the hero inadvertently has a hand – in creating the villain, which is
Batman and the Joker.
Yeah, yeah, and that it's a much more
you
interesting
made me first.
Yeah, yeah. It's a much more interesting character trait. So I really thought that was kind of cool. Just he said like as an overall arching theme of like, you know, we kind of create our own demons from, you know, little personality quirks that we may have to creating supervillains by not meeting them on the roof.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
things like that. That I kind of like that whole thing.
Yeah.
That
Unbreakable.
Oh, right.
Oh, everyone has, their opposite.
Where there's mm-hmm. a strength, there's a weakness. Where there's a weakness, there's a strength. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that is awesome, too. And I love a big summer movie that can put this, like, sort of, you know, lofty and somewhat subversive.
A summer movie that tries.
That tries, you know. Like, that's what when we get so frustrated with big-budget movies.
With just shit blowing up.
Because they just think that, oh, just make it blow up and snarky comebacks and bam. You know, it's like, I like the big action. I like...
We should call these movies now Quipsplosions.
Quipsplosions. That's not a shoe store. You know, so... I love that they do, and it also says like you can make a smart summer popcorn movie. You can. It is. It is.
Name another gorgeous one. That, like, what's your top five brilliant summer action films?
Well, I mean, the three Dark Knight movies. I'm a huge...
Okay, let's make it harder. No. Non-superhero.
Does Avatar count?
I can't. I don't like the
Avatar thing.
I like their politics a lot. So I bend a lot when the politics are right.
I like the politics.
Yeah, you should stay a little more neutral in your film criticism.
Aw, fellas. Dances with blue wolves.
Yeah.
But that's okay with me, you know?
Pocahontar.
I just had a problem with the dialogue in Avatar because it's like, we're not in Kansas anymore. It's 150 years in the future, and we're quoting Wizard of Oz on a planet that kind of shit just makes me.
Let's go back to the original question.
Okay,
action movies, non superhero based, that are like popcorn movies that really hit the mark.
That are smart.
They're smart. I'll give you two.
Okay,
the original Star Trek movie.
Oh yeah, the first
and
one.
And Fast Five.
So you like Robert Wise's one.
So no, the last Star Trek, the
JJ's
reboot.
First, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as far as like summer popcorn movies were, and Fast Five was like the perfect popcorn movie, and I have not been a huge fan of that franchise, but it was so perfect that mix of action, almost like postmodern action dialogue, mm-hmm. where it was making fun of itself, it was campy, and the action was fantastic, and to see The Rock beat the shit out of Vin Diesel. Worth the price of admission.
What do you think of the Vin Diesel franchise of Riddick?
That's hit or miss.
I found that to be a little hit or miss. Like I
like the first one.
It was
and I like the character too.
It's an interesting character. I was seeing one like that film. The second one seemed a little sort of from what I remember of it. Like it just. Missed the mark a little bit for
me. Yeah, and had kind of a Dune-like imagination to it. Yeah. I really loved the look
and
of
I
it.
Believe there was another one. I think there's another one. I know there was an animated one, and I think there might be another one coming
up. There's another one in the works.
Yeah, yeah.
The one, going back, though, since we brought...
Are you in it?
No. No. Go ahead. Go back.
I was going to say, going back to the Wrath of Khan, that was a summer
popcorn
movie.
Perfect film.
Mm-hmm. So great. It was classic Star Trek. It was classic Shatner, classic Kirk. And the morality, it had really good morality in it in terms of like Ricardo Montalban was this good guy. He got screwed over. Like the Federation created him a little bit. They fucked over his planet. You know, his planet got fucked over. No one ever checked on me. You left me on this dusty rock with these weird worms that killed my wife. So guess what? It's payback, you know, and like you can identify with his pain a little bit and especially Montalban was so great, like when he's describing the worm to Chekhov, and he's like how it wraps itself, and you can see the pain. He's glad he's got this guy, but the pain of like, and this is what killed my wife, and I think about this every day.
And the years that have gone by since, he's pasted this weird grimaced smile over it, mm-hmm. which is the coolest added detail for an actor to put on it.
That and a prosthetic chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, shiny.
Shiny.
Do you like my shiny chest? Yes, and my scarf to hide the seam. Well, you got to do, look at where a scarf or a headband goes, and you go, look at Face Off and realize you've got 9 hours to get this thing on the set. You better fucking come up with a sash or a headband or some shit like that, because there's no way to blend that. You're stuck, motherfucker, and they got to roll in a few hours. No, this character has a thing. It's part of their religion.
Yeah.
It's part of their belief system to hide the seam where the foam ends.
This guy's always been big on ascots. Let's get that ascot in there.
Make it happen. Wardrobe.
I thought like a perfect film that was sort of Star Trek based, but I think it's a perfect comedy, is Galaxy Quest. It's a perfect comedy.
Uh-huh. That movie.
Flawless.
Mm-hmm. Is so, and it's one of those films that it should have blown up more. I don't know, maybe Universal.
Well, no, it did actually. What happened was it opened weak, and this is like what you were talking about, is where, if it doesn't open big the first weekend, it's a failure. You know, that was the conventional thinking. But after it opened weak, it slowly gained ground through word of mouth.
Because the nerds went, yeah. You got to see this.
You got to see
this. That's right. The studio didn't get behind it, but the nerds did. It's another one of those things where a movement of people makes a large entertainment entity respond.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they should have pulled it. They usually get panicky and pull a film, but they didn't.
Mm-mm. I want to go back to – this just reminded me of something of character trend. We haven't talked about Don Cheadle's character in Iron Man 3, an Iron Patriot. Mm-hmm. Like, and that whole storyline of, you know, Tony Stark is like, I'm kind of retired or I'm kind of rogue or whatever, and then the government – you know,
has their version of Iron Man.
And
Why wouldn't they build their own?
Of course. And Don Cheadle is, you know, he's a soldier and he believes in America. And then it's just a little. Well, let me ask you guys this. Let's go into this question. What did you think about the vice president being in on the conspiracy to blow up the president? What did you like that or did you not like that?
I didn't like it, and the reason is because it kind of came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It was the kind of thing where if it was kind of built up, if we saw why, you know, other than seeing, you know, her kid's limb that wasn't necessary that would get regrown with this drug, like there has to be more than that. You know, to really just kind of see what, you know, what the motivations were. And that, I think, was a global issue with the film. If the motivations were tweaked just a little bit, everything from Tony Stark's revenge to the villain's motivations to the vice president's motivations. And these could have been small tweaks just to really hammer home what they were kind of thinking and what the reasons were for their motivations. So I didn't completely buy it. It didn't throw me out of the movie because I could kind of see, okay, well, yeah, there must be some other stuff going on. But it should have been developed more.
I agree that it should have been developed a little more. I was already so into the film at that point that I was just like, oh, okay, great.
You bought it.
I bought it. Mm-hmm. Stepping back, I do – and I see what they were trying to do. Like, I think this goes towards the whole – subversiveness of the film.
LBJ is – they're basing him on LBJ.
Yeah, exactly.
Take out the president, get in.
When the whole like, oh, it's for his daughter, you know, so she can grow a prosthetic or whatever. She doesn't have to wear a prosthetic. It'll just – this medication will grow back. It's sort of like tied in for me, and maybe this is just my conspiracy thinking going, yep, that's what pharmaceutical companies do. They buy mm-hmm. high-ranking officials who like sweep shit under the rug, and there's these
Monsanto,
side effects.
Monsanto has totally bought our government out now.
Right. Pretty much.
Monsanto. Yeah. I mean, and you can tell they're a legitimate business because they have Blackwater for security. So that's one of the ways you know they must be doing something really good for us. If you need a private mercenary army to protect you because you couldn't get regular people to protect you.
Right.
Yeah. You must be doing just the right thing.
And you need private mercenaries when you're making food.
Yeah.
Do farmers need like Navy SEALs to guard their crops?
Yeah. So it must mean what your food is made of is extra good for us.
Double plus good.
Double plus good.
Her choco rations are up now, too.
Nice.
But you know, that actually brings us to another point where the details, like we're talking about motivations, mm-hmm. like there are other little details that could have been cleaned up a little bit. Like this drug, when you get infected with it, kind of repairs limbs and stuff. Then why was that assassin's face still fucked up? Why wouldn't that have healed? You know?
Hello. Yeah. We only do limbs.
Yeah.
Side effects may include fucked up face.
Blowing up.
Starting camp.
I mean, it fixed, you know, it fixed the guy's teeth, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Right.
So what, I mean, and my question too, I really want to see the Chinese cut because, you know, they cut a different version for Chinese audiences.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I really would like
that. The Mandarin wins. Yeah.
The Mandarin wins.
Ni hao ma.
And they Bruce Lee comes back from the grave and defeats everybody. That I would watch for sure. So any other thoughts or comments?
When they're coming out of the back of Air Force One, mm-hmm. everybody's fluttering through the air. Those last few people didn't know to reach anybody. Couldn't hear anything, dropping at terminal speed, 170 miles an hour. And you're supposed to hear and reach out and grab the next guy.
Yeah.
And doesn't current weaken as you go out through people? those people inside must be getting cooked like a chicken to get it out to make a current to grab the last few guys before you go into the water.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like monkey hooks.
Yeah.
Like the toy where everything is equal. It's like DC. It's a problem with Edison's stuff pre-Tesla. Is that original electricity was just going
right
to the next station, that as opposed to back and forth AC. So I don't know how you make people grab each other.
The way you do it is you have to suspend disbelief considerably.
Yeah, yeah. It was like my question about Prometheus, the little belly squiggle thing that she cuts out of herself. Mm-hmm. It's in the room. What did it eat to get so big? How did it get so fucking big in just that room?
Right.
And I responded, no photosynthesis.
Photosynthesis. And send.
Yeah.
Those are the salmon pages. Yeah. What do you got for me? I don't know. We're shooting tomorrow. Just say that. Christ's sakes, we built the set already.
Yeah. God damn it. It can eat paint and air.
It's already in the computer.
Yeah. It's an Ironitarian.
But overall, yeah, I like it, and I liked it was crazy that they just had...
I thought it was the best Iron Man movie.
It is the best Iron Man movie, I think.
Yeah, it was cool.
Of the three.
Because of my politics, that twist in there is my favorite part of it.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool, and I think the stuff that they played with that they changed from the comic book, again, and we talked about this on the regular episode, is it wasn't arbitrary changes that like Hollywood punch up guys made to just put in standard hacky plot points. Like,
right.
We'll have Vicky Vale come into the Batcave. No, you won't. they need a love interest. It was the changes felt believable and organic within this world.
It was nerd based.
Right. It was nerd based. Yes, exactly. It's nerd based.
That's a good way to put it.
Exactly. Shane Black created this world that is different than the comic book world, but still true to it enough.
No, he knows his base.
He does.
Mm-hmm. So, and he is one of the base. So yeah. It's easy for him to do.
That's what happens when the people making it are not nerds. Then it's
passionless.
Like it's like your parents planning you a party in high school. Like, don't you kids want to
pin the tail on the donkey?
Yeah. No, we want to drink and finger bang each other. What are you talking about?
It's an arranged marriage.
Oh, this is horrible.
Oh, I don't know where I can buy that.
Oh, my pastor's going to plan the party. Oh, it's going to be lame.
This is Hortense.
Very happy to meet you.
All right. Well, anything else we want to discuss on this spoiler?
I appreciate your appreciation of the stuff I love.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I love all the same stuff. So it was really a treat to be on. Yeah. Thank you.
This was cool.
Thanks, man. It was good. And I'm glad. I hope you fans enjoyed this spoiler ep that we got for you. So it's
special thanks to Rick Overton for sticking around.
You did not have to stick around for this. So thank you so much it's a hot day in the valley. The garage is getting sweaty now. Yes. We can't run the air conditioning.
Time to hit Hugo's, boys.
Yes.
Let's do it.
A great diner. So thank you so much to Rick Overton. I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Mandarin is fake.
Yeah.